Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to have you here with us today. Want you to know that you're going to have a great time in the things of God and a great time in His Word. Aren't you glad we have the Word of God in our lives? You know, aren't you glad it's not just church we're going to? Say it, it's not just church. It's not just a religious gathering. It's God Almighty coming to meet with us. I like that. You know what's awesome? He wants to meet with you. The sad thing about today is too many people go to church just to go to church. And they get in the building and forget about coming face to face with and meeting and talking to and fellowshipping with our wonderful God and Father. And, you know, that's what we're going to get this year. Say to me, that I might know Him. I might know Him. Hey, you know, we got to have a church building. How many glad we got a church building? There's people around the world today that doesn't have a church building. We have a church building. Thank you, Lord. You got to have people in the building in order to come together, right? If nobody showed up here, would you? Of course not, Pastor, because nobody showed up, right? But thank God that it's not just religion. Thank God that it's about knowing our God and knowing Him. Those of you that's joining us by radio, we want you to know that we're proud that you have a church. Say it. Glad you have a church. Glad you have a pastor. Get your Bible out and read it. Amen. Those of you that are out there, you know, in radio land, you might never be able to get to West Branch, Michigan. You pretty much can't get to West Branch unless you decide to take the trip. We're not on the way to too many places. But you know what? Why not? You're here. We can help you walk with God, which is what our place is in your life while we're out there on the radio. That's what my place as a pastor is, right here with these people. And that's what my place is when I'm ministering to you wherever you are around the world. And those of you that you know that are serving right now across the seas somewhere with the military, I call you blessed in Jesus' name, and may you fight well. May you do your mission, whatever that mission may be. May you come home and be blessed by God while you're doing that mission and be able to reintegrate into our great nation. And everybody say it, it is a great nation. All right, stand together with me, and we'll get started with prayer like we do every time we come to God's house. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, today, right here, in the lives of these people that have gathered here together with me, in the lives of those who are at home, maybe on the phone or on the computer, on the internet, I declare, Lord, in the lives of every person within the sound of my voice, that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, abundant, and blessed, and it brings no sorrow with it. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that you were sent to this earth to bring abundant life. You said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that doesn't mean rich millionaires. That means you're going to touch us in every area of our life, Lord. And you're going to bring that blessing and strength to us. I pray for peace of mind for those whose minds are in a mental battle. I pray for peace in their finances, Lord. Peace, be still. I pray for peace in their bodies, Lord. May those that are dealing with physical ailments and disease processes, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Be made whole. Those that are dealing with some form of post-traumatic stress and their life, and it's really defeating them, or it's trying to defeat them, we declare that the blessing of God brings the peace of God into your life. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what any of us are battling, and everybody has one, you have promised us that you would never leave us, and you would never forsake us, and your presence would be with us, and you would give us rest. You said that the battle would not be ours, but it would be yours, and you would empower us to go and take on the enemy and win in our life. And I thank you, Lord, that no matter where they are, we've got good people right here with us right here. I speak it in their life, Lord. I speak it in the life of every person who hears us today, that your blessing will be there. And we've gathered, Lord, now for church, as we call it in the English language. We've come to worship you. We've come to praise your name. We've come to read the scripture, to sing the scripture, to hear it read and hear it spoken and hear it preached. We've come to gather together, and we're going to have fellowship one with another. And we're going to enjoy the bond of the Spirit in our life that has drawn us together. Have your way here, Lord. We've been in prayer before this service, that in this service you would reveal the hidden wisdom that you have for this day, for our day, for this generation, for this ministry, and that we would walk in that and function in that, Lord, so we can reach out and touch more people. We thank you for it. Father, we pray for America, just as has happened all over this great nation and around the world. When the sun came up on the first moment of Sunday, wherever it was on the timeline, people began to lift up their voice to you and name you as Lord, Jesus. We name you Lord here today. We declare over America that Jesus is Lord of this nation. We declare that we're a Christian nation, and we will always remain that. We declare it's not a denomination. It's our understanding of who God is, and that He set this nation up so that we can be free to love and worship Him and enjoy the blessings of liberty and the blessings of knowing God on our side. I pray this, Lord, in your mighty name. I pray it, Lord. Bless those that are serving around the world, wherever they are. Give them great courage. Give them great boldness. Give them strength in their mission, Lord, I pray. May they fulfill their duty with great excellence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for those that's lost a loved one, wherever they are in this nation, in any of our wars we've ever fought. You are the God that heals. You came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And we declare that that happens right here, right now, today, in this time together, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, everybody in agreement, shout a big amen. Big amen. Well, here at our church, we have a confession that we make. And we've been doing this now for a number of years. These are verses of scripture that God has given us to speak over our community, over this gathering together of believers, over our state. And it's the scripture that Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. How many want to go to heaven one of these days? Let's try it differently. How many of you are going to heaven one of these days? Amen. Those of you in Radio Land, raise your hand if you're going to heaven. Come on. But we better learn how to live on earth, right? So Jesus said that he wants us to pray, "Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven." Exactly what God wants. So here we go. Ready? Let's make our confession. We call on you, O God of Israel, oh, that you would bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Keep your hand with us, that we will stay away from evil, so that we will not cause pain. We receive it done in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, look upon your enemies' threats, and grant to us, your servants, to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy Son, Jesus. As a believer of new creation, I am an ambassador of the cross. I declare that all words that are being spoken against the ministry of Jesus Christ that we have been given stewardship for are null and have no effect. We declare that your enemies are confounded, and we say this in Jesus' name. I fight a good warfare. My faith is increased every time I hear the word. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am quick to purge my conscience of dead words and works. I always trust in the Lord, and I lean on His understanding. The eyes of my heart are enlightened, and I know what is the hope of His calling. I have my senses trained to discern good and evil. I am a mature Christian, and I can handle solid food along with the milk of the Word. I am an imitator of God. Therefore, I walk in love. I implement all of the armor of God. Therefore, I resist evil and stand firm every day. As a Christian, my greatest weapon is the Word of God spoken in faith. Therefore, I wield this weapon accurately, and I know that the power of life and death is in my tongue, and I am eating the fruit of it. Therefore, we declare that in the time of trouble, we the faithful will receive a double portion, and all those around us will know that we are the offspring of the Lord. I declare that all of RPN's members and their ministries are doing well. They are financial partners with MBM, new pastors join, and all members communicate effectively in Jesus' name. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe His prophet, and you will prosper. With the power vested in me by the Lord Jesus, as an ambassador of the cross and a child of the King, serving as a minister of reconciliation, I publicly curse poverty, debt, lack, greed, and the love of money. I publicly loose the opportunity to earn money and have employment over my family, over this area, and over our entire state. I declare the understanding of the principles of tithing and the laws of seed time and harvest are functioning effectively in the ministry of Jesus Christ in the state of Michigan. In the name of Jesus, we declare that large contractors and small businesses come together in unity to create financial strength in all of northeastern Michigan. We declare Exodus 12:13. And the blood shall be a sign to you upon the houses where you are. Governor Rick Snyder, our House of Representatives, the Senate, the Judicial Committees, and all other elected leaders for our state. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you as a destruction. In Jesus' name, grace to Lansing, God's grace to Lansing. I declare a new breed of people come from the north, as well as Mayo and Rose City, from the south as well as Alger, Beaverton, Gladwin, and Standish. From the east, as well as Hale, Oscoda, and Tawas. From the west, as well as St. Helen, Holt Lake, Roscommon, and all points in between. People focused on this vision. People determined to walk with God. People whose faith is contagious. People who live in the fear of the Lord. People who want to be servants. Servants ready to serve. They come to the house of the Lord. We declare, like Solomon, over our ministry, lives, and businesses, that there is more than enough to do all that must be done. More than enough silver, more than enough gold, more than enough skilled workers. 100 new adult replenishment troops come now, according to the word of God, in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen and amen. At this time, we're going to receive communion together. Now, for those of you that are at home, we want you to receive communion with us. And we're believing God that this time when we receive communion together will be as powerful for you at home as it is for us. Amen? Now, Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus talked to the disciples. He was with them on the last night. But then he met with the Apostle Paul while the Apostle Paul was in training. Because if you notice those scriptures in Corinthians, those are in red. Those are the words of Jesus when Jesus met with him. And he said, you know, we should judge ourselves. But then there's a reason that God had Jesus instruct us in this. And it's not just so you get a little grape juice in your diet and a little another piece of bread. There's power here. There's deliverance here. There's victory here. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be a part of the kingdom. And so we're not cannibals. I don't know how that happens. I just know he said it. This is the process. We're going to do it. And somewhere in there, it works. You know? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But aren't you glad we don't have to, you know, kill a lamb here this morning? Anybody else besides me glad of that? I mean, you know, we got a farmer here. He could be, you know, Mr. Butcher too and make all that happen. But once and for all, Jesus did it. Can I get an amen? Once and for all, Jesus did it. And there's victory in this. This is not just a religious tradition. There's victory and there's peace and there's happiness and joy. And so let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we receive these communion elements together. And Lord, somewhere in your kingdom, in all of your ways, this has an important part there. And we know that today, tens of millions of people around the world will lift up their glass of juice. They'll lift up their piece of bread to you. And in faith, they'll receive that work done. Don't know how it works, but we know that it does work. Because you're not a man that you can lie. You've said it, and therefore it'll come to pass. And so, Lord, right here, right now, in the lives of everyone within the sound of my voice, or anyone who ever gets a part of this recording and hears this, I thank you, Lord, for victory in their life. I thank you for deliverance in their life. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus, it cleanses them from all unrighteousness, and that your broken body gives them life. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray this prayer with me. You were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken, every joint supplying in my body, in this body, in the body of Christ, within our stewardship, right here in this community, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Now let's lift up the cup of blessing. Lord, you said this is the blood of the new covenant. Your blood shed. You said that it was once and for all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that it's the most powerful cleansing force that's known on the face of the earth. We can use all kinds of soaps and cleaners on the outside of our body, but the blood of Jesus will purge our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. And I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I pray for any person right now within the sound of my voice that may be battling with post-traumatic stress. Lord, that's a wound on the mind. But you, Lord, you have said you came to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And as we receive this now, Lord, the blood of Jesus that was shed, you took bruises on your body so that any bruise of our life would be healed, and we thank you for it. And I pray for victory for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission. By the blood of Jesus, I have access to come boldly to the throne of God, where I find grace to help in my time of need. By the blood of Jesus, I purge my conscience and make my robes white so that I will be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish when you come for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the juice together. Worship the Lord with us. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Say it. All things are possible to them that believe. And I'm a believer.
There is love that came for us. Humbled you, a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sin for us. You rose up in victory.
You are Lord Jesus. We say it out of our own mouth. You are Lord of our lives. No matter what enemy may come against us, you are our God. We receive your healing in our lives. Body, touch that part of your body. If we could get to you, we would do it. But you're a believer, lay hands on yourself. Let the healing power of God touch your life. Lord Jesus, right now we put our trust in you. And I speak, Lord. I speak healing for every person. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your body and in your spirit, man. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. Will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Come on, sing it out. Make it your declaration.
Lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord.
What's his name? Shout it out loud.
My
Now, I want to pray with everybody right now. You know, in the story of blind Bartimaeus, remember that story? The whole throng was walking by. Wherever Jesus went, a throng came with him. And blind Bart, really, the word Bartimaeus just meant he was the son of Bart. He didn't even have a name, just he was named the blind man. He was Bart's son, the blind guy. That's what they called him. How'd you like to have that for a name? And Jesus came walking by, and he, you know, obviously he had heard about who Jesus was. And you don't mealy mouth around, do you? Remember Brother Mike Warnke? Brother Mike says the best prayer you ever pray is the one when you slide in on your knees and almost go underneath the bed and just say, "Lord, help!" rather than some big glorified thing you can put together. Amen? But blind Bart said, "Jesus!" And the people standing there said, "Oh, Bart, shut up. You're just Bart's son. Shut up, blind guy." And what's the Bible say? He hollered all the more. Everybody just shout Jesus real loud. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you shouldn't shout in church. I know it scares the religious demons. I'm going to let no religious demons live here. Amen. Just say it. Spirit of religion. Get outside that door. Get out there. Stay out there. We don't want you in here. Amen. I want to know Jesus. How about you? Jesus stopped and said, "Hey, what's up over there?" That's, you know, modern day English. But Bart said, "I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Be made whole." Amen? So I don't know what you need today. You call out to Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer. I declare... Just raise your hand. I don't know what you need. You talk to God about what you need. But I'm going to put my prayer of agreement with you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, every need that's being raised to you right now, I, as you, look at them and say, "Be made whole." Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Eyes, see, ears, hear. Limbs work. Organ systems function properly in the name of Jesus. Understanding in the mind now because of who Jesus is. Because of who Jesus is. We give you glory, Lord, that we can have faith to boldly declare, "Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven." And it will be done because you honor your word that is spoken. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Somebody shout a big amen. Amen, amen. Well, before you're seated, go to three people. Tell them, "I love you, God loves you, and you are winning." Be careful now. How you give my wife a high five, it's got to be a gentle one. Be careful. Everybody look at the back row and give them an air high five in the back row. Amen. We love you. God loves you and you're winning. Look up here to the radio. I don't know where the radio is. Just grab a piece of air and say it. Yeah, God loves you. We love you and you're winning. Why do you say it, Pastor? Because I know if we can put the love of God that's on the inside of us and his love together, my love and his love together, you're bound to win. Amen? Because that's how the scripture is. You may be seated. That was a good time of worship, wasn't it? That's why we come to the house of the Lord. You know, I remember back in the day we used to have song services. Remember that? We'd post them up over on the side, you know, the today's song, when they'd have them little numbers over there, and that way you knew what number to turn to. If Aunt Martha couldn't hear good, she could look up there and see what the number was. And how many know song services aren't bad? We just, some of them were, yeah. We just needed to improve our understanding of what God wanted us to do at that time of church. Wasn't just sing a song in perfect 4-4 time. He wanted us to worship him, whether you got the 4-4 time right or not. Amen? And, you know, too often we made having the person up there that knew how to what do you call it? Count the beats? You know, 4-4, 1, down, over, and up. 3-4, down, over, and up. 6-8, open, over, and up, and over. It was cool. I could do it, man. I could do it. I was a good song leader. But thank you, Lord, that he gave us a new revelation. Say it, new revelation. New revelation, and that is to come into the house and to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, that's the benefit of putting these words up on a screen, so your hands are free from a songbook. You ever try to lift your hands with a songbook in it? Pretty soon somebody's shaking a book, and you don't know whether the guy's mad, angry, if he's going to let go of it, you know. I've seen services where a songbook come flying right off the platform at somebody. Anyways, thank God for worship. I love to worship the Lord. You know, and it's really awesome. You can worship the Lord anytime, 24/7, 365. I challenge some of you. This is not my message, but I'm still going to say it. I challenge some of you, you got to get some other worship music than what you're used to. You're so stuck in the worship music rut, you don't even know what else is out there. And there's a lot of good worship music out there. And, you know, some of my favorites, man, I love the Gaither Vocal Band. That's awesome stuff. I love it. I love Brother Phil Driscoll. I was worshiping with Phil Driscoll this morning, taking a shower, man. Thank God he's on the CD, just going. Good stuff, worshiping. And then, you know, you got Third Day. That's an amazing worship team. And you got the Hillsong people. They got great, great worship music. And there's just a lot of people out there, a lot of different styles of worship where you can learn to worship our God. Amen. Well, let's receive our tithes and offerings for the day. Somebody shout it. I love to give. I love to give. How often should we give? Ecclesiastes says give in the morning and in the evening. Amen? That's what it says. But listen, you should learn to give whenever the opportunity presents itself to you. And, you know, who knows when all that's going to be. You're going to have your ear tuned to need. And when you do, you're going to know that God's going to help you meet a need. And that's going to be the blessing of your seed. And that's a really good thing. Go with me to Galatians. How many like the book of Galatians? I like that book. It's a good book. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We always give you a Bible verse when it comes to the offering. Why are we always in the Bible? Man, I'm a Bible people. And it's the greatest instruction you'll ever receive. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 6. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not faint. Verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen. What is it that we give to the Lord? Time, talent, treasure, and our seed sown in faith. Seed sown in faith. That's why you and I have to live in that set of verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 where Paul says that you will abound to every good work. Because there's some days, man, there's a good work that shows up on a regular basis all day long. I have a good work that I've helped some people work on, and we're probably going to help them. I'm probably going to help them some more. But they're building a memorial for our fallen troops. How many know that's a good thing? That's not necessarily a righteous thing, but the scripture says to give honor where honor's due. Here's the cool part about this memorial. It's going to be absolutely beautiful, and it only is going to cost $35 million. Somebody say, oh my. When I saw the pictures, I'm like, wow, this place is going to be beautiful. And then I heard how much it was going to cost, and I'm like, Lord have mercy. Wow. But you know what's amazing? As the people that are doing it, they just got this rawhide face. You just know. How many have been around somebody like that? You just know that what it is they've set their mind to, it is going to happen. And I think about that thought some days and think, $35 million. Whew. Like the guy in the Bible. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And yeah, you know what? When you think about it, we've got 350 million people in the United States of America. We have 1 million people who have served in these two wars. 1 million. If you add the 10 families to each of those people that have served. Now, remember, I'm saying 10 families. They're saying there's the statement the military makes is there's 10 families that takes care of every one person serving. So that's 10 million families. All of a sudden, you can see that's no big deal. That's pretty reachable. That's only each family giving $3.50. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Do you know what this lady's big plan is to set out to pay for this? That each person $1. One day they're like, put out this big, we're going to release the plan. And it was every person give $1. And I'm thinking, that's 35 million people. That's a lot of dollars. Right? But then I began to, you know, I just began to think, you know what? If we just all do our part, how simple is that? Who in America can't afford a dollar to honor the troops? Can I get an amen from you? Every one of us can do that. And that's a simple process. And I'm probably like most Americans, I didn't give $1. Who wants to go online and use your credit card for $1? Right? I mean, you need to at least use your credit card for at least $5, in my opinion, or something. But the idea is, when we all come together, I'm not plugging money for that, okay? That's not what I'm about, not today. The idea is, when we all do our part, it works. Everybody say it. When we do our part, the kingdom works. The kingdom works. Right here in this church, you might have a lot. Give it. You might have a little. Give it. And what's important is when we get done, we turn around and look back and say, look what the Lord has helped us get accomplished, because it's his power that's working in us. Amen? All right, jump to your feet. Let's receive our offerings today. No reason to belabor that. If you don't want to give, keep it in your pocket. If you do want to give, get it out of your pocket. Those of you that are online, if you want to give to us, that's fine. P.O. Box 622 West Branch, two words, Michigan, 48661. If that was too fast for you to get, just hit that little pause button right there on the left. Just hit it. Back it up a little bit and you'll hear it again. P.O. Box 622 West Branch, 48661. And you can make a check out to New Creation. And you can be a blessing and help us get the work done. Amen. Hold your offering items up. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in obedience to your word, we give. In our desire to help the kingdom, we give. And because we're willing and obedient, we know we eat the good of the land. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody make this confession with me, because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Lord Jesus, I give my tithes and offerings to you to do the work of the ministry. Bless it like you do, and me like you said you would, so we can do greater things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give to the Lord and enjoy this awesome offering song.
Been through the fire, been through the flood, been down, stuck in the mud. Had to look up just to see bottom. If you're looking for stories, brother, I got them. But I ain't gonna give up, ain't gonna give up on God. No, no, no. Been busted and bruised, battered and torn, walked through the desert, weary and worn. I've had me some biscuits without any gravy, but in every situation, the hand of God fit. So I ain't gonna give up, ain't gonna give up on God.
Somebody say hallelujah. 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 We'll give you a few announcements here. And it'll be good. Want to make sure you're up to date on everything that's happening. This week is the Holy Spirit Conference in Midland. We want you to be able to be a part of that. It's always a good time. God just shows up in the power of the Holy Spirit and manifest himself, and people's lives are changed, and miracles happen, and God always speaks to us, and so we want you to be a part of that. You can stream it live if you can't get there on your computer. Just go to marktbarkley.com, and then you'll be able to see live stream there, and just click on that, and you'll be able to be a part of the services. I challenge you, if you can't get there, stream it. If you can't stream it, find somebody else that does have the ability to stream and go to their house and stream, because it'll be a good thing. Okay, my wonderful, beautiful wife. Everybody give my wife a good hand. She's with us today. Amen. It's good to have her back with us. Surviving and thriving from that operation. Thank the Lord for that. I'm glad you got good, smart, intelligent doctors. I am. Thank you, Lord. That's a good thing. And she's going to be streaming this week. So if you'd like to stream, then that's fine. You can come out over, you know, let us know when you're going to be there, and she's going to be doing it, and hopefully we can get the computer and you see it on the big screen. You know the value of Facebook, don't you? This just comes from the big screen thing. A friend of mine out west yesterday posted, who knows where to get a hanger for a flat screen, a wall hanger, for his 52-inch. And I posted on there, just send it over. I've already got one. Anyways, we're going to do our best to get the computer to hook right up to our screen there, our television screen, where you'll be able to watch it right there live in living color. We'll let you know. If not, you can watch it on the computer screen and be a part. I'll tell you what, if you can't get there, this is the next best thing to getting there. And there will be, for the conferences, there will be 1,000 people streaming from around the world. One time they said they had over like 600 pastors that were streaming that night with them. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad you live in this day rather than the horse and buggy day when you couldn't even get the message unless you went to the building where the guy was and he had to ride his horse and buggy there and then smell like the horse and the buggy when he got there? I mean, I don't have nothing wrong with horses. All right, we're stopping right there. That's as far down the trail as we're going. But that's this week. And you'll enjoy that. And then don't forget, next Saturday night, daylight savings time. Already. Spring forward. Whew. It's the farmers. Come on. They want the farmers to be able to work more or something. I don't know. I don't necessarily understand it, but I'm glad to have an extra hour in the morning or in the evening? You get the hour in the evening, right? You get the hour in the morning. Is that right? Who knows? Some highly intelligent person thought this up and said, this is a good idea. Let's sell it to the whole world. At least America ain't caught on. You know, just act like you're a highly intelligent person. Amen. And then the women's conference is in April with Mrs. B, and that's going to be a good thing. We had a great men's breakfast yesterday. We missed some of you. All right. Don't let it happen again. 8 a.m. Monday morning, or Sunday, 8 a.m. Saturday morning, Ponderosa, first Saturday of every month. We get together and have a good time. I'll be looking forward to an early spring. Amen. Beautiful out there today, isn't it? You know what the old farmer said? If it comes in like a lamb, it's going to go out roaring like a lion. We're already on the third day. It's going to be nice, isn't it? So, you know, if your tulips begin coming up, just put some covers over them so that when the frost hits, they'll be all right. And, folks, we got to pray. I was talking with some guys yesterday that said if they get another bad frost this year, it'll kill a bunch of our fruit trees in Michigan. It will kill the tree. And we don't need that. We need our fruit trees strong. Amen? I mean, like the Traverse City cherries. Oh, yeah. And the apples come from down there by, Muskegon in that area. We got a lot of berries and things that go over there, and we need to be able to have that. So Jesus stood in the boat and said, peace be still, so can we. Amen? One guy said, what do you say? 70 degrees, come to us. Wouldn't it be cool if it was just 70 all the way from April right on through? Okay, you might not get that one, but anyways, you know, don't worry about it. Are you ready for the word? Anybody remember what we preached on Wednesday night? The Word of God. That's somebody that was reaching for it. Amen. Get your notes out. We were preaching about walking tall in God. The glory of the Lord will be seen on you. Today, where our message is, walking tall and picking rocks. Say it with me. Walking tall and picking rocks. You didn't say that very loud. You must have picked rock before. Let's try it again. Walking tall and picking rock. What's that all about, Pastor? Well, we're going to mix our message from Wednesday with today because we want you to have a glorious life. And we got to the verses of Scripture that said, His glory will be seen on you. Say it. The glory of the Lord is in my life. And everyone should see it. All right? And so grab your Bibles and jump to your feet, and we're going to get into the Word of God for today. Now, same scriptures we had last time. I'm just going to add a few. Now, I'm going to give you these references, although we're not going to read them. For those of you who are at home, this is the first time you hear our message. Get a piece of paper and a pen. Write these references down so that you can read them while you're at home. I want you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3, and then Matthew chapter 13. Philippians 3 and Matthew 13. Our theme for this year is that I may know Him, speaking of God. I want to know Him, not His church building, not the people in the building, not the denomination that owns the building, but that I might know Him. Because I can guarantee you this, folks. If you get to know God, you'll be a good Catholic, a good Baptist, a good Pentecostal, a good Lutheran. You'll be a good whatever church you go to if you get to know our God. Can I get an amen? You know, there's never been a church split where everybody was in agreement with God Almighty. Where everybody was doing what they should in God, there was never a church split. When everybody was submitted to our God and Father, there's never been a church split whenever that's happened. But you know what? When man gets crosswise with each other and refuse to start listening to what God says, there's been some bad church splits. Really bad ones. Brother Mike Warkey talks about the one that Italian Pentecostal, I think he said, where literally when the church split over the color of the carpet, nobody could care less about the color. I mean, if you're not got pink and it's glowing or something, maybe that's what they wanted. I don't know. That night they came back and they cut the building in half with a chainsaw and hauled one half of it away. It was called a church split. Somebody say, help us, Lord. What a mess, huh? What a mess. We're not going there. We're going to know our God. Say it. I'm going to know God for myself. For myself. And that's going to be good for me and everybody involved. You ready? We always make a confession of our faith about our Bible. Hold your Bible up and we'll make our confession today. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I am what it says I am. I go do what it tells me to do. Today I will be taught the Word of God, and it will change my life because that's what it's designed to do. I receive it as a seed that is producing a hundredfold and more in my life, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now raise your hand up here at me for just a minute. I don't want to have to fight this thing all service here. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare these symptoms stop now. Now. So that we can preach your word with clarity and with strength and boldness, I receive your work in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Shout it together. I love the word. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Say it with me. The resurrection has great power. And that's what Paul's saying here. That I might know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. Chapter 13. We kind of got into this the other night, but we're going to get into it deep today. This is our message. Say it, walking tall and picking rock. Just tooting the farmers up there. Matthew 13, verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured those seed. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say it with me. It's been given to me to know the mystery. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's keep reading. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even, excuse me, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Say it with me. I have eyes to see and ears to hear, and I make the choice to do so. Look at this next verse, verse 17. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Who takes it away? The wicked one. This is he who received the word by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns, he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. Say this with me, that will not be me. Verse 23. But he received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Go down with me now to verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Wednesday night we talked about the glory of the Lord in our life. And when you have his glory working in your life, it causes you to stand tall and to function in boldness and in strength in your life. Isaiah chapter 60, write the reference down, says, "Arise and shine, for your light's come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." The beginning of the year, we taught the scriptures from Timothy that says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, that can rightly divide and understand the word of truth." The more understanding you get in the things of God, the more bold and the more confident you become in your own daily life. The more confident you become, the more glory of God that's there, the more glory of God that's there, the greater things happen in your life, and the more other people are drawn to your life. We read the scriptures from Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, folks, you and I didn't bring salvation to the world, did we? Say it, I didn't bring the light. No, we're just a refractor of the light. We're just that globe that sends out the light. You ever been on a lighthouse and seen that thick glass that's actually up there by the flame? Man, it's just a little light up there that can send light all over that light. It's just amazing, all over the water. And it's just a little light. But it's what's inside that, which is around that light in the glass, that makes that light just shine bright. You and I are not Jesus. But when Jesus comes to live on the inside of us, then his light begins to shine out of us. Amen? And that's where the scripture says, "And the glory of the Lord will be seen on you." Now, let's write these verses down in case you didn't get them on Wednesday night. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. Luke 4, 17 through 21. This is the set of scriptures where Jesus read about himself, what his mission was on this earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Say it, Jesus was sent to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know anyone that's brokenhearted? Jesus is their healer. God sent Jesus to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed or those who are bruised. That's why Jesus is on this earth. That's what his ministry is here. That's what happens when he's on the inside of you. Anytime you see any of these people in your life and you begin to have the heart of compassion going out to them, it's because Jesus is reaching out to them. We went to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're going to have to read that chapter over and over this year, because this is where God has led us to really do a lot of studying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through the whole thing. Verse number 5 says that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man or men, but in the power of God. Say this with me. God wants my faith in his power. See, God can manifest his power to you, and that should cause faith to come to your life because you see God working in your life or working someone else. We've seen a lot of miracles for people, folks. Right here from this ministry where we've prayed for people, we've seen miracles in your own lives and how God has worked. We have miracles sitting right here with us today. Our brother Chalmers here. That's a miracle walking in shoes right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 reads, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Now look at your Bible. That word is not capitalized. That's not talking about the glory of God. That's talking about the glory that's designed for our day, our generation, your life, so that God's glory can shine on you and things begin to work for your life. Verse 9, "As it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us through his Spirit." Say it. There's a mystery. I can speak it. God's reserved it. And he's revealed it by his Spirit. He's revealed it by his Spirit. Then on Wednesday night, we went to Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. This verse says in Mark 4:11, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." So Jesus, the Godhead, wants you to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. Have you ever just scratched your head about some thing God before? I have. And sometimes I felt like, well, I don't know. I probably never will understand why that set of verses is there. I'll probably never understand why that's that way, why that happens. And I chalked it up to, I don't understand, rather than chalking it up to, God has revealed this to me. It was hidden before time, designed for this generation, and he wants to reveal it to us. Now reveal the mystery to me, Lord, because I'm seeking after it. A week ago on Sunday, we taught that we should ask, and that we should seek, and that we should find, and that we should keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, until we find, because there's a place in God that he wants you to seek after him. Hebrews chapter 11. "He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him." Say, diligently. Now listen, my diligence may not be your diligence. Right? Some people, their diligence is, they'll read 5, 6, 7, 10 chapters of the Bible a day. Other people, they'll read a phrase and study that for a month. Say it with me. Both of them are okay. Right? It's how you are diligent. I remember Dr. George Evans, one of the great leaders of our organization. I loved him. He reminded me of my grandpa, so that really caused me to love him. He would say, "A preacher isn't worth his weight in salt if he can't read the Bible through 5 times a year." If I was sitting at the table, I'd always duck because I ain't never read the Bible through 5 times in a year. And I hope that doesn't cause you any alarm or any fear. How many know that's some reading of the Bible? You're doing some reading if you're reading it 5 times a year. That's serious. Is it okay if you read it 5 times a year? Would you get a good understanding if you read it 5 times a year? Yeah. you would probably even begin to understand he begat and they begat and they begat and they all begat and it was begotten. But you know, what you have to see in all of that is you have to seek the Lord, right? The scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Humble yourself, seek after God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Amen? So my search, it doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. Today, we were getting ready for church. And Pam was taking a shower, and then I was going to get in right behind her. And she had that water hot. As soon as it started to scald me, I said, man, that's a revelation right there. Don't let someone else draw your bath water to get your life clean. Huh? Said to the Ephesians church, by the washing of the water of the word. Right? Say, I got to get my own life. Some people, they fix your bath water to fix your life. This might be hellfire and brimstone. How many here do good with hellfire and brimstone? I don't. You? Some of you might. Like the one guy said, I like Rod Parsley. I just listened to him three rooms away in the house. Which, listen, he must have liked him and that must have been good for him. But that might not be your kind of teaching, right? But you don't want someone to draw your spiritual bathwater that's going to have a chunk of ice in it. Can I get an amen? Say it. I got to get my own life fixed. That's why that verse of scripture is so important, that I might know him. Get your finger out and do it personally. That I might know him. I might know him. Those of you that are home, get your hand out. Get your finger out. Unholster that pointer, stop pointing at people and point it at yourself and say it, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. See, that way you can know. That way you're getting the understanding for yourself. And when you get an understanding for yourself, nobody will ever be able to take that understanding away from you. Why? Because God gave you a revelation and it's working in your daily life. It's like that. I did a funeral a while back. And you know how funerals, you memorial services, you give people an opportunity to say something. And the family said that that's what they wanted, and so that's what I did. And at that point, I said, if there's anyone here that would like to share anything about, you know, the man that had passed, you know, come on forward. And this guy comes up, and he's got a Bible. He lays it on the podium. He opens it up. He said, what I have to say is from Matthew chapter 25. And you could see that this man was reading a verse of scripture that said something about the man that was laying in that casket. And he said, then can you say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick in prison, you visited me. And the king will say, because you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And at this point, the man was in tears. Because the man laying in the casket took this young man in and fed him and clothed him and took care of him and helped him get through that phase of his life. And you could tell the guy's walking a good path. How many know, whether or not you got a Bible college degree, that man did more to preach the gospel right there to that young man than any word of any preacher in any pulpit anywhere. Why? Because he lived it out in his daily life. Say it, I got to live it out. So that's all about walking tall. Now let's get to the best, the good part of this message. Pick and rock. Somebody say pick and rock. Now, for you basketball people, that's not the pick and roll. That's right. That's basketball, right, Andrew? Pick and roll? You think so? This is Farm Talk. Pick and rock. How many like pick and rock? Let's try it differently. How many have ever picked rock? Oh, listen, you know, it was always more fun to pick on somebody else's field because if you missed them, it wasn't a big deal if you missed them there. But if you're picking your own field and you missed them, you got the heat when that hit the combine or the hay bine or anything else, you know. We picked rock. I picked rock with Pam's family out there on the farm. And they had a great farm and dairy farm, raised hay and corn. They just did it on a gravel pit. You know? And it's like, why would you choose to farm a gravel pit? And yet, you had a great farm. For many years, they had a farm there. We picked a lot of rocks. And then we picked some more rocks. And I remember there was like 3 years in a row there. The first year we picked the rocks, and that's cool, you know. And then we picked rocks, but Cal don't pick rocks. Now, these are rock pickers to the best of them. And the next year, I'm out in the field of that rock at my in-laws where we picked all the rocks, and I'm plowing. My Lord Jesus in heaven, I hit a rock so big it threw the plow right up out of the ground. I'm like, what in the world? We already picked that field last year. And by the time we got done, it took three tractors to get that rock up out of the ground. And where was it last year? Down on the ground. Amen? You getting a revelation here? Matthew chapter 13. Let's go. Somebody shout, I love the word. Even when I have to pick rock because of it. Hey, come on, man. God wants everybody to know him. Say it. Everybody know him. God is not the respecter of any person anywhere. It doesn't matter to God what's your color of your skin, your whether you were rich or poor, whether you're young or old, whether you're sick or well. It matters not to our God. He wants you to know him. And that's the power of this thing. But in every one of our lives, this parable right here, Matthew chapter 13, is the most important parable. It is the most important parable you will ever learn is this one right here. Because Jesus himself said, if you do not understand this one, how will you understand any of them? Let's begin reading. I got to get to Harley started here. Matthew 13, verse 3. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, and it fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them, the seeds. Some fell on stony places. They did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 11, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Verse 12, for whoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. But to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they don't see, hearing they do not understand. And then the prophecy is fulfilled in their lives. And, man, we don't want that prophecy. We want the prophecy of God's going to bless your life, and he's going to cause things to come together. Amen? Now, here's the explanation of it. Verse number 17. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it. And to hear what you heard, and they did not hear it. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, I am preaching to you the word of the kingdom. Whether or not you like me as a person, whether or not you like my delivery style, that's not about it. If you can receive the word of the kingdom in which I'm speaking to you, and the gifting of God on my life, the anointing to deliver the word to you, then these things will begin to happen. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. If you've ever been on a farm, wayside is the part of the field where you drive, but you don't necessarily plant anything. That's just where you're driving. In the old days, we called it the lane. You wouldn't plant a crop in the lane. That's where you drive. The field that you work up, that's the field. This is seed that fell on the wayside, along the side of the way. Is anything going to grow there? No. The ground is hard. Why? Because the equipment's been going over it. People's been walking on it. Therefore, the seed is not. It might be able to catch a little on the side, but somebody will step on it, a wheel will roll over top of it, and it is not going to happen. The scripture says in verse 19, these are the ones who hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand it. And you could say there, and do not come to an understanding of it. You have a pastor, something in the Bible that's just difficult for me to understand. I understand that. I agree with you. I've told the story many times about my pastor. Man, there's a message he teaches. It took me years to figure out what he was trying to say. What, are you dumb, pastor? No. Religion. Say it. Religion. Religion indoctrination. Had my ability to understand that so covered up, it took that long to get the understanding of it. You know, being a good sheep. Say it in church. Being a good sheep. Doing like a sheep. Right. But why you get that? Because you let one feed to you. And you never do the understanding. There is never a time where God said it's okay to just hear the words to you. God wants you to not hear, but go do it. Not only hear, but also. And whose responsibility is it to come to understanding? Now, I look at people like let's use the Billy Graham Jesse the Plant. Billy Graham is going to run billions. On this earth. How many know that's a lot of people to get saved? That's a lot of people to get saved. That is, 1,000,000,000 people will get saved through Billy Graham's ministry. Well, how many know he's going to have a better understanding about some things in God that in areas than what you and I will ever come to? Why? That's his ministry. That's where he had to go. It's not important for you to figure that one out. It's important for you to figure out the ones that deal with your life and what you've got to understand to live your life successfully. Amen? You ever been in church where the pastor's preaching and he's preaching about, you know, tithing and you're learning about how to take care of your family? He's preaching about, you know, honoring God and you learn how to take care of your kids? Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit of God that's moving the whole time I'm ministering the Word of God and I'm speaking the Word. The Holy Spirit's ministering to you right where you are. It's amazing to me to understand. In this service, I've got someone that's been around the kingdom for 37 years. And that same message I preach, that a person that can come and hear that's their first year in the kingdom, they can understand it, and so can this one. And it doesn't have anything to do with my skill and ability. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit of God ministering the word to you right where you are. Say it. It's always up to me. Well, so let's not be wayside. Say it. I'm not going to be wayside because I'm going to study. All right? Let's go to verse 20. Places. Here we go. Picking rock. Stand, walking tall and picking rock. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself and endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Why does tribulation and persecution arise? Because you begin to get the word of God in your life, and the enemy of our soul says, I don't want that word to take root and for it to begin to produce in their life. And so what does the enemy do? Persecution and affliction begins to come to you. Say it. My roots are going down. I don't care. Right? Now, can you grow a cornfield if you don't pick rocks? Sure. Back in the day, you know, when you went out there with a corn knife and cut it off with a corn knife, that would be no big deal. As long as the rock's not real big, you keep the head of the combine up, it won't get in there. But don't take a dip where there's a big rock with your combine. Or the boys back at the garage ain't going to be too happy with you. Because that rock will mess some things up. Can you plant a hay field without picking rock? Not if you went on the Bettleton farm, you couldn't. Because we weren't going to run no rock through no haybine. Right? Or the baler. No, it wasn't going to happen. Listen, you got to make your ground right. Say it. I got to make my ground right. Got to get the stone out. Say it. I got to get the stones out. See, the glory of the Lord has come on you. We're studying and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God wants the glory of God for this day function in your life, and he wants you just blessed beyond measure. He wants you shining like him. He's got specific things designed for your glory and for your family and for this church and anybody that's a part of this ministry. But if you don't get the rocks out, it's not going to grow. And his glory is going to become dull. Says it right here. It says it right here. It says they become dull of hearing. Verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Say it. Get the wax out. And get the glasses on. Pastor, what's a rock in my spiritual life? A rock is anything that keeps you from growing out in God. It's anything that's going to keep that seed from growing. You ever hear a good message like this one today, and before you get out the door, you got a just going on in your life? Huh? When does the devil come for the word? Immediately. Listen, man. More people have lost the word of faith that they received from the pastor in the pulpit because of a good Christian between the front door and the back door. They lost that word that they got because they let a Christian take the word from them. Or they were fighting with their wife or husband when they got here, and when they walk out the door, they just pick up the same fight and start all over again. Say it. Don't let the devil get the word. Especially in church. Amen. Don't let him take your word. You'd be better to just be seen as silently dumb than to open your mouth and allow the devil to take that word of faith that's just come to you, just like this message right here today. Don't let the enemy take this away from you. What's another rock that's gonna hurt you? The stone you got to get out. Here's another one. Well, this kind of revelation is only for the pastors of the church. I have two words for you. Baloney. You know what that is? Baloney. When we were in Greek class 1 year in Bible college, I took Greek and it took me. So that was it. One class and that was all we needed. And we had the Japanese guys that were in the from Japan. One time, the teacher said something and one of us said something and somebody else said, oh, baloney. And the dear Japanese brother said, baloney? It's like, are we going to eat? Folks, every revelation of this Bible that is for a Christian to have to make you live a better life is for you. And it is not dependent on whether the pastor gets it. It's dependent on whether you want it in your life. Amen? Do you want peace in your mind? It's available to you. Don't let anybody tell you you can't have it. Do you want health in your body? It is available to you. Don't let anyone, any denomination, any organization, any person tell you that you have to put up with sickness and disease in your body. It's not true. The only time Jesus ever allowed sickness in the body was when he allowed them to beat him and he took the stripes on his back for your healing. That's when Jesus allowed healing. Otherwise, Jesus says, by my stripes, you are healed. Why would he take stripes on his back and be beaten for you to be healed so that you can be sick? That he caused. He's going to look at you and say, I took stripes. I don't want you sick. Amen. You can stare at me all you want. Doesn't matter if I sound like I have a cold. I don't care. By his stripes, I'm healed. Can I get an amen from somebody? Whether or not Aunt Martha or Uncle Charlie ever prayed to be healed in their body and they didn't, it doesn't change the word of God one iota, does it? Jesus stood at that whipping post and took those stripes on his back, and every stripe had some strain of sickness or disease in it, so that every generation would be free, because he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And whether or not you know someone that died of cancer has no effect on the fact of whether or not God means it in his word. Can I get an amen from you? Listen, man, everybody's got to go through a battle, and you know what? Here's the cool thing. If you fight to the end, a horrible disease, and die and go to heaven, where do you go? Heaven. Amen? Just die in faith. Say, die in faith. I don't want you to die. If you die, die in faith. Standing on the word of God that his word is true in my life. Does God want you poor, broke, busted, and disgusted? No. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's the book of John, 3 John. I wish above all things. How many things? He wishes above all of those things that John was writing about, that you would prosper and that you would be in health as your soul prospers. Say it with me. Get the stone out. Get the stone. Why? That way the seed can grow. And you look at what it says, verse 20. The stone guy receives the word with joy. But he has no root, and it only endures for a while. And say it, I will endure to the end and receive the crown of life. 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns. How many like thorns? I don't like thorns. You know, the old song, every rose has a thorn. Well, who cares? I want the rose, not the thorn. How about you? This is the guy that received it among the thorns. It's he who hears the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Folks, this is the verse of scripture that every one of us, as good soil, you know, good people to care for the soil of our life, this is one of them that we're going to have to deal with the most. Because how many know cares of this world are many in the day that we live? Have you noticed that lately? Have you noticed that the Democrats and the Republicans seem to be able to keep the cares of the world happening very strong in this day that we live? How many catastrophes have you and I heard is going to happen to us in the last 6 months? My Lord, the ship was going to sink about 10 times, wasn't it? Anybody noticed we're still here? This is still America. Things are still moving along. Pretty soon we got to decide somebody's lying, right? But you can't let the cares of the world choke out the word. And yet every one of us have done this at a time. We got so busy doing our things of life that we don't take time for the word. You don't take time. And this says that the thorns choke out the effectiveness of the word in our lives. Well, I'm running out of time. I don't want to. It's probably just because I'm preaching good. Verse 23. He who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and then begins to produce in his life 30, 60, 100-fold return in your life. You know what I love about this gathering of believers that we have here? I see your life continually increasing. Say it, increasing. Well, Pastor, yeah, but you last week was bad. Yeah, but it's not about last week. How many ever had a bad last week? I've had a few bad last weeks. But I can tell you something about bad last week. That's only going to be there for a short period of time. Why? Because I'm going to have a good week this week. And I'm going to look at last week and say, well, we walked through it, and here's how I effectively walked through it. And every time that comes, I got a fire drill. I know what I'm going to do right now. Amen? How about you ever had a bad year? Anybody ever have a bad year? I've had a couple. It seemed for 365 days it was bad. I didn't like that year. Anybody else want to say amen? You didn't like that year? Man, my wife said she didn't like it either. No? God said he wants you to be able to produce. But here's what I look, when you look back at those years, you know what? Man, persecution was coming. Tribulation was coming. We had to get the stones out. We had to pull the thorns out. We had to dig up the wayside. We had to get the seed in the good ground. And in doing so, when you look at where we are now compared to that bad year, it is proof that we're good farmers. Right? Say it. When I look back and I compare where I was to where I am, I must be some kind of a farmer. Right? Listen, man. That first year I picked rock with my relatives. We had a wagon, you know. We were just flipping rocks. It was cool. Next year we start picking. I'm like, wow, what's up with all these rocks out here, man? We worked hard last year. Why we got to do this again? But see, the earth is designed to grow whatever's planted in it. And that rock is going to keep working because the earth is going to work it. And it's going to work its way to the top. Last year in your life, you may not see that rock. You may not have seen that rock last year that you see this year. But it doesn't matter. Say it. It's just a rock. Just get it out. Man, that big rock I hit with the plow, it took three tractors to get that thing out of the ground. It was huge. But we didn't let it stay. Right? We had to use an extreme amount of work to get that rock out. But we got the rock out, filled the hole back in, and plowed the field and planted corn. Right? And that's life. Some rocks you come to, it may seem that all you do is dig, and you're digging. I remember digging around that rock thinking, this is a big rock. And then, you know, 5 hours later, you're still digging. You're like, holy Toledo, this is a big rock. We didn't have a loader or anything to go in and scoop the dirt out. We were digging with a shovel. But folks, if that's your personal life, you got to dig. Say it with me. I got to dig. We're at the end of our time now. For those of you that are with us on Blog Talk Radio, We want you to know that we're praying for you. And we want you to make it. And I don't know everything that you're dealing with. I just know the God that helps us deal with the issues of life. Can I get an amen? Say it with me. I can dig the rocks out of my life because God will help me. Say, pray this prayer with me again. You ready? This is so simple. Just those of you at home, raise your hand with me and just pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I need you in my life every single day. I ask you to reveal yourself to me, Lord, as I can understand, based on my life, based on my time growing up, based on what's happening to me. Reveal yourself to me, Lord, so that I can walk in with you every day and listen to your holy word. I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of you by radio, that was it. For those of you by radio. Now, let me say a few more things to you here with us. First of all, how many of you glad that there's a timer on that Blog Talk Radio? You notice we haven't been preaching till 6 o'clock and things around here. Been preaching a lot shorter. I want you to go down